Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host Debo Getty, and we're Bark Radio.
Hey there, Bark Radio listeners. Oh man, I think we have some really cool stuff today, and watch out, because if you go to the links we're putting on the website, take some Kleenex, because at least one of these made me cry, and it's Terry's fault. So Terry, why don't you tell the folks about this one?
Well, I saw an article, a video article, from Crossroads Magazine, mm-hmm. on a place in Oregon. It's in the, I can't even pronounce that, Estacada, Oregon.
Okay.
I think. I may have just destroyed that name, but it's Oregon nonetheless.
It's northwest. Yeah. Okay, that's cool.
Called Out to Pasture.
And it's a hospice.
And it's a hospice.
For
animals. And not just dogs or cats, but horses, pigs, goats, sheep, peacocks, whatever.
Anything that needs that last place to be.
Special needs animals. They don't try to adopt them out necessarily. Right. They're a hospice. They come there to live the rest of their lives, whatever their problems are. They get them the medical treatment that they need, and they were saying they change 140 diapers
a day.
Yeah. For dogs and cats. And I was like, holy moly.
I mean, that's a commitment, you know. But the thing is, just like every story we see like this, we were watching the video together, and man, these animals have such amazing heart.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if they're crooked or don't have all of their limbs working or don't have all their limbs, and they're still happy and moving around and hanging out with the other fur kids, and
yeah.
It's phenomenal to me. And this woman, they've got a lot of critters there.
And yeah, they got a lot of critters.
They do, and bless her heart, it's another person we want to talk to in an interview at some point, because that comes from someplace inside a person that most people don't have that thing, you know.
Yeah, that's a commitment.
It's huge, because it's just, you know, 24/7 you're on. And I've never seen so many dogs in diapers in my life in one place, you know. And some of them had wheels.
Some mm-hmm. of them had, well, I call it skid plates, but it was a pad on the front because they didn't like the...
They don't have the front legs.
Don't have the front legs.
Don't like the wheels.
Didn't like the wheels, so they end up with a skid plate, and they kind of hop skid.
And wagging.
Happy
wagging,
as heck.
Wagging. I'm thrilled to see you. I don't care if I don't have to. You care? So, you know, this is one of those places we want y'all to know about. Because for one thing, you can consider donating to them.
Right, because they were saying it cost them about $7,000 a month to care for the animals. And they had 40-some dogs, 20-some cats.
Several horses.
Several horses. I mean, just a quite, and they do have a farm-type area,
right.
But a lot of animals.
And just a lot of hands-on care required
yeah.
for these animals. I loved in the video the part about the horse who had been so abused, and she was able to bring him back to the point where he trusts people again.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It is incredible.
I like the fact that, you know, she uses traditional medicine.
Mm-hmm.
She uses holistic medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's brought in, for that horse, she had brought in a horse whisperer
mm-hmm.
to actually bring him back around.
Right.
But I think it's, you know, I'm a big believer in a combination of whatever it takes to make it happen.
And, you know, she has just the whole spirit of this place. And again, it's out to Pasture Hospice, is just making them happy and comfortable for as long as they've got.
Yeah.
And you can't have much of a greater calling than that, it seems to me.
Yeah.
That's pretty huge. One of the cats, she was saying, every vet she took him to wanted to put him down. And he's had a couple of surgeries, I think. Spina bifida,
I think,
was the problem. But he was hopping around being a cat, you know?
Doing cat stuff.
Yeah, man. So, you know, reach down into your pockets, folks. These kinds of organizations are doing work that we are not able to do, and we need to support them. That's pretty incredible to have a hospice for animals.
I think it's awesome. That's just amazing. That was the other thing that she said, is when it's their time,
mm-hmm.
whatever that is, she holds each animal.
Yeah. Now, can you imagine that? Oh, my goodness. And she said it's worth the tears, because she's with them as they leave, and oh, my gosh. I just respect that so much, because it's such a very hard thing to do, to let animals go. And if we're not careful, we're going to have to stop recording, because we're both going to be bawling. But anyway, yes, help these wonderful folks out if you can. Dig down deep. Give them a donation, large or small. We'll put the link up. And you just need to know about them, that there's some really great folks. And let's see. You have more information on another really, really cool place, Terry.
Yeah, this is this is one of my favorite charities. Mm-hmm. And I've supported them for quite a while. It's called Rolling Dog Ranch, and they're another special needs rescue. They do place, not all the time, but they do place. If they don't get placed, it's not a big deal, but they're currently out in Montana. And while they've been there since 98 or 99, mm-hmm. They're having trouble because they're so far out getting volunteers to come out and help. And most, like any rescue group, they rely on volunteers.
Live and breathe volunteers, yeah.
So they've got a new place in New Hampshire, and they're in the process now of moving all the animals from Montana to New Hampshire. So pretty much coast to coast.
Wow. That's a major haul. So do we have any kind of timeline on it, or just ongoing until they get everything?
It's ongoing because they bought the land, and they're transporting now. But
well, I'm tickled that they're going to be on the East Coast.
Yeah.
I'm sad that they're not going to be in Montana anymore, because that just looks like a fabulous ranch.
They had a beautiful area, but I can see they're out in the middle of nothing.
Right.
But had gorgeous mountains all around them.
So, you know, if you or anybody you know lives in New Hampshire, let them know that Rolling Dog Ranch is coming their way, and they're going to need volunteers. Mm-hmm. And we wish them so much success, and would love at some point to visit them, since they're going to be way closer to us than they used to be.
Yeah, that's not a bad trip.
It's not. Virginia, New Hampshire, yeah, we can do that. But anyway, another organization, great nonprofit. You're looking for somebody to give to. You know, any of these organizations are great. They need donations. They do, you know, they do the work we don't do.
Yeah.
And they help so many critters in the process. So, yeah, it's all good stuff. All right. From Rolling Dog, we move on to Georgia.
Georgia, yeah.
And what did they do?
Well, Georgia just passed HB 788.
And what is that?
That means that the shelters in Georgia will no longer euthanize using gas chambers.
That's pretty huge.
That is huge.
And, I mean, honestly, I didn't know they used them. I didn't know that.
I hate to tell you this, but there's places in Virginia that still...
No! Sorry.
She's like, what? I didn't do it.
Right. I know, you're a good girl. I didn't know that. Yeah. That makes me very sad.
Yeah. It's typically very rural areas, but they're still there.
Oh, man. Okay, so back to Georgia. At least they have made this not go away in the whole state, right?
Right, and starting January 1st, 2013, they will be banned.
So in 3 years.
Two and a half years. Yeah. And I understand that originally it was supposed to be the end of this year, mm-hmm. and that was what the original, what was signed off by the governor, mm-hmm. but they changed the date to give the shelters time.
Okay.
And I understand why they pushed the date out, give the shelters time to, you know, I guess, get rid of the existing equipment, bring in whatever their new methodology is going to be.
Right.
But still, it'd been nice it wasn't quite so far out.
Right. That almost 3 years is kind of a piece. But, you know, at least it's happening, and the animals will benefit.
Right. And if you have a state where they're still gassing to euthanize, please, you know, help try to shut that stuff down, because it's a very unpleasant experience. Compared to some of the other methodologies, because it takes, they're in that gas chamber 34 minutes.
Are you kidding me?
34 minutes, and they sometimes don't die.
I think this is more than I wanted to know. It's just so much easier not to know some of this stuff. That's cruel.
Well, it is cruel. And how this got started, specifically in Georgia, how it got started, mm-hmm. is one of the surviving dogs was rescued.
You're kidding me.
No, found it in a dumpster. They threw it half dead out with the rest of the dogs. Somebody found it, so they got pissed.
Good.
God bless them.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I had no idea.
Yeah, 34 minutes in a gas chamber. I know. So, gas chamber's bad.
Very bad. Very, very bad. And bravo to Georgia.
Yeah.
glad you're changing your law.
That's pretty.
It should be banned in the entire world.
Well, there's a lot of folks working towards that. So good. Support them.
Is yes,
bad
please,
stuff.
please. All right.
So you got a conference coming up.
I do. I'm so excited. Woo! I get to go listen and learn from one of my favorites, Dr. Ian Dunbar. He's doing a 3-day conference in the D.C. area this next weekend. No, weekend after this. And I'm just thrilled because he's kind of one of the fathers of positive dog training, and he's kind of brilliant, as far as I can tell. And part of the conference will be on behavior issues and reactivity issues in dogs. I love that part of the conference is also going to be about raising the bar in dog training, making us better at what we do. And then the third day is just fun because it's games for teaching reliability and precision with your dogs. And, you know, I think Terry might be going to that day with me, maybe.
Yeah, we just decided that, though, literally in the last, you know,
half hour.
Because originally I wasn't going to be able to go, but I could go for one day. So,
we're hoping that can happen. And we're taking, I'm taking the portable recording device with me. And cross your fingers, folks, because if I have my way, Ian Dunbar will be talking to our Bark Radio listeners. How fabulous
would
that
be? Really cool.
Yeah, man. Ian, I'll buy you beer if you'll talk to me. Yeah, way cool. All right, so one thing, just want to tell you guys about Ian Dunbar a little bit, because if you have not read his books or listened to him or seen his videos or whatever, you just need to know about him. One of the best books on the planet is How to Teach a New Dog Old Tricks. There are all sorts of training books available from him. There's one that's fabulous for before and after you get your puppy. You just need to read that so you know how to start your puppy right. And Ian Dunbar, you know, he's a Brit, but he settled in the Bay Area of California. He developed so much in the puppy and dog world that didn't exist. So, you know, take advantage of knowing about him and follow him and read him and pretty much listen to everything he says. He's a brilliant guy, and we'll report back in one way or the other about the conference. Hopefully we'll be talking with Dr. Dunbar.
That'd be so cool.
And with that,
I think that's an episode.
Y'all be good now.
We'll see ya.